lost place where we think we would find it. At last week's month, we grappled with some things that Jesus said were hard to understand. Sayings like, "Do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth, but a sword." On first hearing, one might think that's not consistent with the Jesus we thought we knew. Is it possible that statements that appear to be exactly opposite of the truth can turn out to be precisely what we need to hear? This is exactly what the gospel lesson for today, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, seems to say. In the Jewish synagogue, one Saturday morning, the Sabbath day, celebrated by the Jews, like we are here today in church on Sunday morning, and Jesus is teaching the multitudes, the congregation, when suddenly, out of nowhere, a crippled woman appears, hunched over, stooping from the waist. She had been this way for 18 years. She does not ask Jesus for anything. She does not beg him for a miracle. Like so many in the Old Testament and even today, she just appeared there. Her twisted, crooked self. But Jesus felt compassion for her and caused her to come up to the front of the synagogue. He places his hands on her and he says, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." And immediately the woman stood up straight. Something she had not been able to do for 18 years. But then she began to praise God. Many cheered the healing. They had witnessed a miracle. But the leader of the synagogue was upset. Not because the woman had been healed, but because she had been healed on the Sabbath. The Jews had very strict rules about what they could and could not do on the Sabbath. There are a number of points which we can get out of this incident. They're all worthy of consideration. First of all, Jesus was always ready to heal the sick. Jesus always reflected the will of God. So, God is always ready to heal the sick. It never occurred to Jesus that he would displease his heavenly Father or break some cosmic law by relieving the pain and humiliation of 18 years. If a person is hungry, you help them, you feed them, no matter what day it is. If a person is hurting, you help them. If a person is handicapped, you heal them, no matter what time of day or night it is. Secondly, so often people you would expect to be pleased with what God does through his people are not. The rabbi, who was the leader, disagreed with Jesus. Additionally, note how Jesus takes care of things. God's way. He knows who's in overall control, even over those who don't believe he exists. His reaction, "You hypocrites," he said. This was Jesus speaking. "You hypocrites," he said. "You give your donkeys water on the Sabbath." We put in the temple for sacrifice. We people offering deliverance. But when a poor, crippled woman is freed from a life of pain, you call that a sin. You hypocrites indeed. Hypocrisy, close and personal. Brothers and sisters, God is looking for people who rejoice at what He is doing. They are the ones He uses to become the mighty people of God. Here, I will interject that Sabbath rest, or a sabbatical, is not a bad thing. A rest is good for us, and was ordained by God to benefit us. Who knows what our society will become if we fail to set aside hours or days to let our bodies rest and our minds be refreshed by slowing the pace of our lives. God created the cosmos in 6 days and rested on the seventh. He set the example. Did you notice that Jesus did not wait for the lady to come to him and ask to be healed? Jesus saw her need and called her to him. God loves all people and wants us well. He sent his Son to die for us, and by his stripes we were healed. God has given us the authority to lay hands on hands and heal the sick when we truly believe. But do we believe? God is the healer, and God is the one who gives us true success and is the final judge in our lives. God does things according to his character and based on his love for us. Jesus and the Father are one and did nothing. Jesus did nothing unless he saw the Father do it. Nor did he say anything unless he heard it from the Father first. But someone has said, it is the nature of all institutions, whether they are churches, schools, or governments, to start to make a shift. A subtle shift is made where the original purpose of the institution was to serve people. Instead, the people start to serve the institution. It happens again and again. The legal needs of the institution becomes greater than the needs of the people. How true, but how sad. My brothers and sisters, friends and visitors, let us take the following points away with us today. Jesus speaks to the woman in civilized Jewish society. Men did not speak to women in public, even their wives. Remember the story in John 4 where Jesus spoke of the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman at the well? She was shocked because a Jew would speak to a Samaritan. But when the disciples returned, the scripture records, they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. Jesus gestures the male restraints on women's freedom. Secondly, he calls her forward to the center of the synagogue. By placing her there, he challenges the notion of a male monopoly on access to knowledge and to God. Thirdly, he touches her, which revokes the holiness code. That is the code which protected men from a woman's uncleanness and from her sinful seductiveness. Fourthly, he calls her daughter of Abraham, a term not found in any of the prior Jewish literature. This is revolutionary, because it is believed that women were second to their men. To call her daughter of Abraham is to make her a full-fledged member of the nation of Israel with equal standing before God. Fifthly, he heals on the Sabbath, the holy day. In doing this, he demonstrates God's compassion for people over 700. And he claims the Sabbath for the celebration of God's literal goodness. Last but not least, he challenges the ancient belief that her illness is a direct punishment from God for sin. He asserts that she is ill, not because God willed it, but because there is evil in the world. In other words, bad things happen to good people. In conclusion, my brothers and sisters, let us recall the scripture in 1 Corinthians, where God admonishes us to let everything to be done in love. As he operates in love, God is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 states, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never ends. So, my brothers and sisters, God is in control. He is in control in the sense that he has given man dominion over the world, but he will judge us for how we use the power he places in our hands. God's aim is to bring the maximum number of people into his kingdom. As we fulfill God's calling on our lives, getting to know God and follow him based on what he reveals about himself. This enables us to grow in the love of the Father and show that love to all those in and out of the church. This morning, we welcome little Jonathan into our family. He is but young, but he will grow up to be a man in this community, or whatever community he has been. Let us welcome him, and let us welcome everyone who enters that door. Let us treat our brothers and sisters with love and respect. We are all very precious in the eyes of God. So finally, let us rejoice in what God is doing in the people of his church. We can then look forward to Jesus saying to us, "Well done, you good and faithful servant."